Everybody get all sorted out here in a minute where they need to be. And we're glad you're in the Lord's house today. We just pray that you're blessed. Those who are visiting, we want you to feel especially blessed as we share the Lord together. We love on one another in the name of Jesus. And we've got a good group this morning for Labor Day. We know we have people off traveling, but we're glad that you're here, and we pray that you'll just be blessed as you spend some time with us today. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, it's your day. We worship you and we praise you. We honor you. We thank you. We bow our knees and declare that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and share your heart, God's heart, with us today. Father, may we have anointed ears to hear what you would be saying, whether you say it through me or in spite of me. May we have ears to hear what you are saying. Lord, for those that are out traveling, we pray for safety as they are on the highways. Father, we pray for our pastor search committee that they might have your guidance, your leadership, for whatever man you have for this church. May he be seeking your will as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Of course, these days you can say turn in your Bibles, your iPads, your phone, your smartphones, or whatever. You know, you've got all kinds of ways to look up the Scriptures. You know, tomorrow's Labor Day, and you have a real, and I think we realize that everything we have, somebody had to do. Somebody paved the roads that got us to church. Somebody built the cars that we drove to church. Somebody pumped the oil, refined the oil, and made gas, and sold us the gas to put in the cars to get us to church. Somebody built the building. Somebody made the clothes that we're wearing. Somebody grew the food that we'll eat today. Somebody sold it. Somebody will look after us in hospitals and doctor's offices. All kinds of ways we depend upon one another to provide. And so we celebrate those who are workers today. Tomorrow. And you know, it's possible that you work for a company that really makes you feel valuable, makes you feel like you're somebody special, that you're part of the team. Or you may work for a company that makes you feel like I'm just a part and they're going to wear me out and throw me away and stick another part in there. And you know, some people get the million-dollar bonuses at the end of the year, and some people barely make minimum wage. Some people are made to feel appreciated. Some are made to feel unappreciated. I have a relative that been working for a company for several years, and they've moved him around. And a few months ago, he finished up his last assignment. They told him which state his next assignment would be in. He packed his stuff, got ready to go, had a week off. On the next Monday, he called to see where and when he should show up. And they said, oh, company got bought out while you were gone this week. You don't have a job. And he went from being employed, looking for looking forward to his next assignment, to no assignment and no job. Totally unappreciated. And you know, that happens in churches just as well. I think about the fact that when I first started preaching long time ago, two older pastors took me under their arms and sort of mentored me. There were several, but these two especially. They both served their last church a long time, lived in church parsonages. And at last, one of the guys retired. Church said, "We appreciate all your long service to us," and gave him a watch. And he's moving out of the parsonage, got to find a place to live with a watch. The other pastor retired, and the church said, "We appreciate your long service. We're going to give you $1,000 a year for the 30-some years you served us." And so they wrote him a check for $30,000 to help him find a place where he and his wife could live in retirement years. One left feeling very much appreciated. One left feeling very much unappreciated. It happens in churches. It happens in the job. But there's a verse of scripture in 1 Corinthians 15 that I hope will encourage all of us. The last verse of 1 Corinthians 15 says this: "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Paul writing to these Corinthians, and he says, therefore, based on the fact that what he's talked about in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection of Jesus and the eternal life that we have and the victory that we have over death, he says, I want you to know something, brothers and sisters. When you serve the Lord, it's not in vain. Your earthly company may appreciate you or not appreciate you. Your earthly company may reward you or not reward you, but when you serve the Lord, it's not in vain. That's good news. For those of us that want to serve the Lord, you think about how many times and how many ways God makes a similar promise. You remember Jesus saying, if you but give a cup of cold water in my name, you'll not lose your reward. Simple little act of kindness in the name of Jesus receives a reward. You think about what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 3 about building in the Lord's work with gold and silver and precious stones that will last. You think about what the scripture says about laying up treasures in heaven through that which we do and that which we say and that which we minister. Paul, when he writes Timothy, talks about, you know, there's a crown for me in heaven. Crown of righteousness. And he talks about a crown for those who love the Lord's appearing. A special crown for those who serve the Lord. Rewards, rewards, rewards. Paul wrote to the Galatians, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. You ever get weary in well-doing? We all do. We all do. We get tired. We get worn out. Sometimes we get frustrated. But there's a reward. There's going to be a harvest. Over and over and over and over again, the scripture promises that we're going to come to a place in our life where God is going to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. A pastor may preach and preach and preach and nobody walk the aisle. But if he's faithful to preach the messages that God gives him to preach in the way that God gives him to preach them, there's going to be a harvest. You may teach Sunday school. And the class sits there week after week and looks like, I don't care. If you're faithful to teach the Word of God, God is going to give a harvest. I know from personal experience, sometimes when you work with the little kids, and it's almost like working with an anthill, you know, they're here, there, and yonder, you know, and not half listening, and you wonder, are they getting it? But you'd be surprised the lessons those children learn because you're faithful. You may knock on some doors, like with the visitation program, and people promise, oh, preacher, or whoever you are, I'm going to start coming, and they never show up. But there's going to be a reward. I think I've shared this before, but you know, sometime in the last year, I visited one of the churches where I pastored, and the lady comes up to me and said, you visited me for like 9 years, and I never came to church, but now that you're gone, I'm coming. And I thought, well, now what? Gee, thanks, you know. But it wasn't because I was there that she didn't come. She just never got motivated. But visit after visit after visit, finally, the Holy Spirit got through to her. And she said, I need to be in church. I need to be in church. Sometimes we grow weary in well-doing. We grow tired in serving the Lord. But at the same time, the Bible says, keep at it. Keep at it. It's interesting, sometimes you read an obituary in the paper and it says, this person was a Sunday school teacher for 70 years. Wow. Faithful. Faithful, faithful. Now, when he's talking about serving the Lord, there's something that we need to really focus in on, and that's this. Each of us needs to be serving the Lord in the capacity, in the ministry, in the way that the Lord directs. Now let me explain it this way. Do you remember Jesus did not say, I am working for my Heavenly Father? Jesus said, I am doing the works I see my Father do. In other words, Jesus, in everything that he did, it's like he got a direct direction from the Heavenly Father, and he did it that way. I mean, you know, you can go down to the store and buy gloves and other things that says one size fits all. Jesus didn't minister one size fits all. You think about it, there were people that Jesus touched and they were healed. There were people that touched Jesus and were healed. There were people that Jesus' shadow fell on and were healed. There were people that Jesus spoke to face and were healed. There were people that Jesus said, you can go on home, they're healed, and miles away they were healed. You think about the healing of blind people. You remember there's one that Jesus touched, and there's one that Jesus touched and then touched the second time. And then I think there's one where he spat in their eyes. Try that these days. What kind of trouble you'd be. There's one he spat on the ground, made mud, put mud in the guy's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. One size did not fit all in the ministry of Jesus. Every person, every opportunity was different. There were people he healed in town, and then there's a couple of scriptures that says he took some of them out of town away from the crowd to heal them. So what I'm saying to you is this. It's not just enough to be busy serving the Lord. It's to be busy serving the Lord as he wants you to serve the Lord. In other words, that means each of us has to get alone with God in our private time, in our private prayer time, in our private thoughts, and allow the Lord to say, this is what I want you to do today, and this is the way I want it done. You think about it, why important? You think about like the letters to the churches in Revelation, especially that first one, the letter to Ephesus. They were so busy serving the Lord. And the scripture says, you have one of the churches, you have a reputation for being alive. But he says, repent. And to Ephesus, repent and do the first works. They seemed to be serving the Lord. They were busy serving the Lord. And yet, they were out of the will of God. Because they weren't serving the Lord the way God directed them to serve him. You remember over in the Old Testament where King Saul was given the orders by the Lord, go out and kill all of these enemies. Well, now, you remember Saul was a farmer. And after they were killing the enemies, they found some prize cattle. And they didn't kill those. They were supposed to kill everything. Prophet Samuel meets Saul. Hey, Samuel. Hey, preacher. I did exactly what God said to do. Samuel says, what are those cows I hear? Oh, we decided to keep some of those because they were really good. No, that wasn't the assignment. The assignment was to do away with it all. You know, it's amazing. God gives you spiritual gifts. You all have spiritual gifts. And each one of us has different ones. Now, somebody may have the same, you know, half a dozen people in here may have the same spiritual gift. But I guarantee you that all the spiritual gifts are represented in this church in some way or other. So that we can be a complete church. So that we can be what God would have us to be, and we could accomplish what God would have us to accomplish. God gives those spiritual gifts. So the Lord wants you to use the spiritual gifts that you have. That you have. You have things that you're interested in. You have things that you're good at. You have some talents that are different from your spiritual gifts. We always get beautiful music every Sunday morning from the choir. Praise the Lord for their good voices. Some of us, you'd probably pay not to be in the choir because our voices aren't that good. You have talents. You have spiritual gifts. I don't think all of you really got that last statement, but anyway. You know, it's a matter of seeking the Lord. Wouldn't it be a shame if I got to heaven and the Lord said, Ed, all I wanted you to be was a school teacher. I never meant for you to be a preacher. And I missed it for 50 years. But it would be just as bad if you stood before the Lord and the Lord said, I didn't mean for you to be a school teacher. I meant for you to be a preacher. And we missed it. And it's so subtle sometimes just to be aware of the will of God for me today. The people that He brings across our path, and to be sensitive to share what God would have us to share. I don't know what it is about my face or the persona or whatever I give off, but it amazes me that at times people just walk up to me and start telling me their problems. I can't figure it out. I mean, I remember in the church that we attended in Oklahoma, like 800 people there. And this lady just walks up to me and she just goes to talking to me like I was her private counselor. And I'm thinking, I don't even know your name. But the Lord brings us across people that we can minister to. The Lord brings us people that need Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And we can share Jesus with them and have them to come to know Him and them go to heaven with us. That song we just sang, What Joy It Will Be at Set of Sun, or maybe that's not the way it goes, but in mansions beyond the blue, to see somebody that we won to the Lord. Think about it. Somebody in heaven walks up to you and says, I'm here because you encountered me one day and you shared Jesus with me. Wow. Or even better, when somebody walks up to you and says, I'm here because you shared Jesus with me and here's all of my family, and because you shared Jesus with me and I became a believer, they all became believers. And you're responsible for what God did in a family's life because you were sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Awesome to think of that. And so Paul here, as he writes to those Corinthians, he says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you are serving the Lord as the Holy Spirit directs, in whatever capacity and ways and time and people that the Lord is leading you, it's not in vain. You may or may not see earthly results, or you may not see results for years, but it's not in vain. Think about George Mueller, if you've read some things about him. He raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for orphans in England. And they said there was a man that he had been praying for something like 50 or 60 years to become a believer in Jesus. And George Mueller died, but the man got saved at George Mueller's funeral. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so because of that, he says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast means keep at it. Keep at it. Over and over and over and over and over again. Steadfast means we don't quit. We're not wishy-washy. You know, back when I first became a pastor, we didn't have computers and all those kind of things to keep up with records and everything. And I remember when we started a visitation program, I just went out and bought some sheets of poster board. And over here we'd have a name, John Doe. And over here we'd have some columns and we'd write in a date that Ed and Bill and Sue went to see John Doe. And we just keep a record. And when I fill up one board, I'd throw it behind the filing cabinet. And you know, the wonderful thing was, ever so often I could pull those out and think, oh, John Doe, now he's very regular. John's faithful in church now. But the sad thing is, sometimes Bill or Sue or one of those other people on there that visited John Doe, they'd quit coming. And so next time we did that, Bill or Sue's name had to go over there with the people that we visited. Does that sound familiar? Paul says, don't be like that. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Unmovable. Unmovable. Be the kind of person that you can count on. You know, sometimes we talk about so-and-so is a pillar of the church. That means that they're rock solid. You can count on them. Good weather, bad weather, good times, bad times, fusses in the church and revival in the church. You can count on them to be faithful. Paul says, why? Because of the reward. And he says, abound. Abound means to run over. Stick the glass under the faucet and not just let it get full. Run it over. Abound in the work of the Lord. Not how little can I do, but how much can I do? I remember being at a service where a lady was speaking. And she was wearing high heels. And she got over here on this edge and was walking like it scared the daylights out of me. I'm thinking, that little narrow spike, she's going to be over there hitting her head on the front pew. But the point she was making is this. There are people that want to see how close they can walk to the edge and still make it to heaven. Not how much, how far from the edge can I walk. Now, I don't like heights. When we visited the Grand Canyon, you know, there's a fence out there where you look down. I might have got as close from here to that wall. Now, my wife said, come over here. Let's have our picture made. I said, we will have our picture made over here.
I'm afraid of heights too.
You know, now my son, he would have climbed over the fence and looked down, just different. You know, when we abound in the work of the Lord, it's not how little can I do, it's how much can I do. And when we really want to serve the Lord with all our hearts, it's not how much sin can I get away with and still please God, but it's how little sin, because I don't want to sin. I want to please God. I want to please God. Paul says, listen, one of these days you're going to stand before the Lord. And first he's going to want to know, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? But then after that, how did you serve him? If you served him in the will of God, if you sought the will of God, if you did the will of God to the best of your ability, if you were steadfast, well done, good and faithful servant. Now he talks about some who lose their reward. They're burned up in the fire because it was wood, hay, and stubble. They may have been busy in church, but out of the will of God. A church may be busy serving, but out of the will of God. What's God's will for Barbie's Grove and this church, and this time, and this community? You know, sometimes we get as a church, we see what works over there at Red Cross or what works over there at West Albemarle or what works over there somewhere else, and we think, well, we got to do that because that looks good. You remember back a few years ago when everybody had to have a bus ministry. You know, and people run buses for 40, 50 miles picking up kids for church. And it's great to have a bus ministry if God calls you to have a bus ministry. And I read a book by a pastor of a big church in Texas, and they bought a bus because everybody had a bus ministry. And he said every time he drove by and saw that bus, the bus said, "You bought me. God didn't have anything to do with it." And he said the best feeling he had was the day they sold that old bus. Now, they had dozens of other ministries that church was doing. God didn't call them to a bus ministry. Just because other churches are doing it doesn't mean we need to be doing it. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? It all comes down to God's will and being obedient to the will of God. And when we're obedient to the will of God, our labor is not in vain. There's victory. There's blessing. There's reward here. There's a reward for eternity. What a joy to be in heaven and hear the Lord say, you did good. You followed me with your whole heart. You followed me. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? I know that perhaps everybody here in some way is serving the Lord. And I thank you for that. Are you in the will of God? Are you steadfast? Are you unmovable? Do you abound in what you do in serving the Lord? In your heart of hearts, do you know that there's something else you need to be doing or some other way you need to be serving? Maybe in addition to what you're already doing? Or maybe you need to change? Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? If this were the last day of your life, would you step into eternity and hear the Lord say, "Welcome, child. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Father, I thank you for the rewards, the eternal rewards that are ours for serving. And Father, may each of us as individuals and as a church be in the center of your will, the very center. Lord, I know sometimes we miss it, but just call us back and we'll be receptive to correction. And thank you, Father, that we don't serve in our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you need to make a decision, if you need to come to the altar and pray, we invite you to come. Brother Tim.
Page 321, Savior is waiting.